6:03, April 20, 2014. We'll have a roll call at this time, please.
Kathy Yagan, present.
Stuart Martinez, present.
Craig Jones, present.
Karen Ward, present.
And Ken Molnix, present. And we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance at this time. Tom, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Go, Mike. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's you.
No pressure on me.
Item number four is appointment of Budget Committee Member Rolando Alonso.
You want me to come up?
Sure.
Okay. I didn't dress properly. I just came from work, so.
A noble task.
Yes.
Council, any questions of our planning commissioner?
No, really. Yes. Thank you for volunteering.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
And I would like to thank you also, Rolando. It's a one-time-a-year thing. That's an extremely important, probably one of the most important things that our city manager manages and the council brings forth for the city. So I'm pleased to have you on the budget committee.
Well, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to working with Rick and everyone else on the budget committee.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Where is
okay. Yeah, did you guys appoint?
No.
You need to make a motion. You appoint.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to appoint Rolando Alonso, a member of the City Budget Committee.
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect that it's unanimous.
Tomorrow morning I'm going to work with him and other new person. 9 o'clock working on the show, starting through the basics of a budget.
Okay, great. At this time, I'll pass number five since we don't have our student counselor with us.
Put that on the May agenda. Do you want to do that in May?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, Patty will have that down.
Absolutely. And item number six is ordinance number 2014-04, an ordinance of the City of La Pine declaring a moratorium on medical marijuana facilities and declaring an emergency. I'll open the public hearing at this time, and could we have a staff report?
Well, I'll turn that over to Jeremy. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, so the ordinance, you've had it, and Jeremy's been working on this with other cities, so all over four or five of them, and so I figured might as well let him take it from there.
Okay.
So the ordinance that you have, in front of you, operates to prohibit the operation of medical marijuana facilities in the incorporated limits, those facilities being the dispensaries. The duration of this prohibition or moratorium is a period of 1 year, and that's driven by the recent legislation that was adopted in March. Specifically, it would run from, in our case, or the city's case, should this be adopted, today's date through May 1st, 2015. There are various more or less basic enforcement mechanisms contained in this ordinance. There are penalties contained in this ordinance for a violation of the ordinance, that is specifically a $500 penalty for each offense. And effectively, after or if you decide to adopt this today, what Rick would do or what I would do is notify the Oregon Health Administration of the adoption of this ordinance. It is required under the regulations, And then once they were notified, this would be in full force and effect, as I said, through May 1. The idea is, under the current legislation, that between now and May 1, then, should this be adopted, you all would begin to develop reasonable time, place, manner restrictions on the operation and location of these facilities. At a minimum, this would give you a year within which to do that, to develop those. And that's something that, for most communities, is going to involve a lot of public input, so you need a year to develop those.
Sure.
So that, in essence, from the 10,000 foot level, is exactly what this ordinance does.
Okay. Any comments, Kyle? Then, any further staff?
No.
Okay. Then we'll move to public comments. Do we have people sign up for the public comments?
With it being a public hearing, we didn't think that was necessary.
Okay. We'll take any public comments at this point. Mm-hmm.
Do I need to come
yes.
up here?
Come along up here and name, address, age.
Jeez, really personal, aren't you? My name is Tom Brattler, and I'm a citizen resident of Southern Deschutes County. I don't reside within the incorporated boundaries of the city of Lapine. What I wanted to say, and I feel sorry for the city and for the council and for the mayor, the way this legislation came down, because I very much disagree with declaring an emergency, and I understand after talking to the mayor why that happened. I'm a little upset with the state, actually, because of the time restraints that you had to operate. I really like it when there's a normal 90-day opportunity for statements, etc. And I dislike it when it happens this way, because when it happens this way, you can't petition and remove something by referendum. Found that out through past experience. Okay. So that's all I really wanted to say.
All right. Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay.
I don't have to tell you my age, please.
A little levity.
Well, my name is Lori Henry, and I am here. I live not in city limits, but I have lived in South Deschutes County now for 25 years. I am here as a parent. I am the mother of a 19-year-old son that went through all the Lapine schools, and I have a 15-year-old daughter that's a freshman at Lapine High School at this time. I am also here representing TAPS, which is Think Again Parents of South County. I'm one of the board members, and our job, what we have taken on through grants, we're all nonprofit, is to help parents think again and help educate people in South County about awareness of drugs and alcohol on teens and the growing issue in it. So I am here in support of the moratorium. Thank you. You would think I could do this. I am very much in favor of it right now because this last week, my 15-year-old daughter was approached by a junior at the high school who got his marijuana from his parents who have a medical marijuana card and was approached to go try it out and see what she thought of it. Okay? So that's my personal reason dealing with it. My second reason is I care about our kids, and I know the bottom line is income. It would be great income, but it has been proven over time that for every dollar we make on that, we're putting 10 more dollars out in social services, either supporting the family, taking care of other things. And so that just is part of my frustration. And what I wanted to share, I have paperwork I'd be more than happy to share with you. TAP spent time getting together with this. There is some facts about our kids taken from the Oregon Health Teen Survey. That means kids that are taken right here in Deschutes County. This is a survey. That current medical marijuana programs and rules governing dispensaries are not strong enough to protect our community's kids. an article written by W. Hall and L. Denningard, published in 2009, says that most marijuana use begins between the teen years to the early 20s when the brain is still developing. I understand that marijuana does help people with disabilities. I have fibromyalgia. I know I could get marijuana if I wanted, but I choose not to because I have children in my home. And I don't want my children thinking it's okay to use something that is illegal right now in the state of Oregon. When psychoactive drugs enter the brain, they interrupt normal brain functioning and change the brain structure and performance. These changes impact physical and academic performances, which is shown in grades of kids that have proven in our own high school that 34% and higher of our kids that are getting Fs are on using marijuana. I joined TAPS. Now I'm going to tell my age. No, probably 5 years ago, just as a personal mom, and got on the board because alcohol was an issue when my son was in high school. We helped make a video. But when I have 15-year-olds, my 15-year-old daughter tell me someone's approaching her with it, let's go across the woods and by the senior center and let's start smoking and see what happens. I want to see what it's like. When I have my middle schoolers telling me, oh yeah, Mrs. Henry, you want some? I can get you some. It's easy. Then I think we have a problem we need to look at. And I know it only gives us a year, but it gives us a year to really look at where's this, if we have to have a dispensary, where's a safe place to put it? What is going to benefit? I am sorry for the families that have to go to Bend, but like most families, I have to go to Bend for medical issues anyhow. So we can tie that all together. I have tons of comments, and I don't want to take up all your time, but things have shown like residents of states with medical marijuana had marijuana abuse dependence rates almost twice as high than states that don't have such laws. And with the dispensary, the one that concerns me the most is there are 4 people in the state of Oregon to oversee the dispensaries. How many people are there to oversee our taverns, our OLCC? That's something else we do. We're part of that. You know, we send teens in and stings in other counties to see if they can buy alcohol. We're failing at that. What's to say we're not going to fail at the dispensary giving it to teens? There is no law yet governing what is mixed with the tobacco, with the marijuana. There's nothing that says, you know, that it has to be this much of this or this much of that. Let's take a year, let's get better state laws, let's get better control of the issue, and then go from there. So like I said, I have data to back up what I've talked about. If you guys wanted, I made copies. I have spent a lot of time. This is a huge concern to me. It's a huge concern to the TAPS group. It's something that we are approaching at our Deschutes County level, going to a national level to help control, so kids don't see, because right now the social stigma around our teens is marijuana is okay. It does no damage to you. Marijuana is not a gateway drug. My own personal experience, marijuana was a gateway drug for me. It was the way I got started. I want our kids to know that, you know what, marijuana may be legalized in Oregon, and this may be a non-issue in November, but the city of Lapine wants to take the time to care about our kids and find out what really is going on, what is going to be governed, by saying, nope, let's back off, let's take a year, let's look at all the parts. And I would be more than happy to be on a committee to help serve that and to pursue that. So, if you would like...
We will. Please.
Yeah, and if you would you like the documentation? I made 6 copies. Okay. I'd be more than happy to share. You can pass around.
So is that it? Then I'm done?
Yes. Oh. Thank you very much.
I'm Lori Henry. I teach daily, and middle schoolers are not as scary as you guys are, so just to let you know.
Are there any other...
Thank you.
You forgot to tell everybody to push the red button.
Oh.
Some people need to be told.
I know. Douglas Ward, 52657 Pine Drive, within the city. And I'm speaking as a city resident and also as the chair of the Planning Commission. We all know that medical marijuana is coming. So we need a year to establish the rules, the regulations, the fees, if any, whatever, what's legal, what's not legal, so that when it does get here, we have a firm plan in place to deal with it, so that it's done away from the kids, away from the schools, away from the churches, and that we have some kind of control over what's going on. And I would urge the council to pass the moratorium so that we can begin formulating the rules so we can control it when it does get here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any further public comment? If there are no further public comments, I'll close the public hearing. And council, this is deliberation time. Any discussion? Anything?
Well, way back, right?
Sure.
Seems like this is the hot topic in the county, the state, and now it's here in La Pine. And I think as elected officials to represent the city, the city's best interest, which includes watching out for La Pine's youth, La Pine's seniors, the folks that are healthy and the folks that are suffering. We owe it to all of them. And I think all of us can relate to someone that has to rely on some sort of medical treatment with a family member who's suffering from one type of an illness or another. And so it becomes a debate of what is legal and what is morally right. And for myself, it's a hard one. But I think I owe it to the community and the people that we represent to err on the side of caution. And for myself, I believe a year of caution would do the city well, would serve the city well, and serve our citizens well. There's just too many unknowns for me right now. So for myself, I would have to be in favor of our moratorium.
Thank you very much, Red Butt, right? Thank you very much, Stu, and that was well said. So if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the moratorium under Ordinance 2014-04, an ordinance of the City of La Pine declaring a moratorium on medical marijuana facilities and declaring an emergency.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that the vote is unanimous.
Roll call.
Okay.
It's a roll call.
It's an ordinance, please. Yeah. Let's do this again. Karen. Your name?
Karen Ward. Aye.
Greg Jones. Aye.
Steve Martinez. Aye.
Kathy Egan. Aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect, the roll call vote was unanimous. Thank you. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Let's see why you got so fast. Why Jeremy's here, he's driven down. If you have any issues at all, I would think under, you know, anything that you want, just in general, because he's here. So, you know, that you guys are always, these things go through your mind all the time. So in other words, he'd like to be entertained, and he wants you guys to throw some bombs my way.
And I did just get an email while I'm sitting here. Vic Russell has the AHA, the GAHA, your Linwood Acres thing for the, so that he can sign it. It's there for him to sign, and then we'll have it at our main meeting. So, but the agreement that you asked about earlier, and I told Jeremy you might ask, so as well, about done with that.
Yeah, so I'll have the revised draft. This is the water sale agreement?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have that out to Rick next week. It'll be available for you all to review and approve the first meeting in May. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
And they've got some water, a little your pressure was dropping a little
we're,
bit.
We're experiencing declining water pressure. I can't explain it any clearer than that.
And I believe it's effective. It'll be, even though you'll approve it in May, it'll be effective July 1, right?
Well, whenever we get, well, it's effective. I guess they don't pay us till we're supplying them water.
Right.
So that's a bit of a floater date.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's when the contract's done.
Okay.
The water? Yeah. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Any other questions of our esteemed legal eagle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy, I know the topic is gargantuous right now, but I always, for me, I wonder if the medical marijuana is so important, then, and our hospital systems and our medical systems are supposedly up and down and suffering. If it's that important, I wonder why they aren't setting something up that they could monitor and take it other than the financial. I don't know why that. I'm just concerned. My concern is to bring it into the community, and nobody can tell me, I'll buy this, but I will keep it myself and smoke it in my house. It's going to get shared. I know it will. I know it will. And it's just a difficult situation. I just wish if it's, look at Colorado, I have friends that live there, and that's become a marijuana alcohol party place. And, you know, it was passed for medical reasons, and yet now it's just a party house. So that concerns me. I wish there was some kind of legal way. When they say it's medical, why can't they keep it on the medical side?
And that's all a political driven issue.
Yeah.
You know, and the trend, I mean, you all are reading about it across the nation, and it's even locally within the state of Oregon. It seems to me that there is clearly a trend going towards the direction of legalizing marijuana. You know, and as we, whether or not we agree or disagree with them, I mean, that seems to be the movement. You know, and I'm obviously not going to take a position as your legal counsel as to yay or nay on that, but that is clearly what's going on. And historically, with other politically motivated or charged issues, Oregon follows suit. I mean, if you look at various, again, hot topics, usually it's a California adopts it, and then it works its way up, or Washington adopts it and it works its way down. But I would suspect that if, I wouldn't be surprised if legislation wasn't passed this November to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon. Whether we like it or not, I think that the lobbyists, and I think that, again, because of the political pressures and otherwise, I think that's very possible. You know, it's interesting, and I was sharing with Kitty Shields before this meeting about this topic. There are some attorneys out there, municipal attorneys in general, that feel that this legislation was unnecessary for a city to impose a moratorium or a prohibition on dispensaries. In other words, some municipal law attorneys believe that under our Home Rule Charter, which you all know about, you know, it's the ability of a city to control and legislate inside its incorporated limits by virtue of the charter that you all adopted a few years ago. Under that theory, under that premise that comes directly through the Oregon Constitution, even absent this legislation, you all could have adopted an ordinance to prohibit marijuana. And so I wouldn't be surprised that even after the expiration of this one-year period, this moratorium, there were some cities that continued to attempt to try to prohibit marijuana under the home rule. And just, you know, their thought process would be, sue us. You know, we believe that we can legislate this, and if you don't agree with us, take us to court. The other thing that I think is going to be interesting in these reasonable time, place, manner restrictions, Rick and I have talked about this quite a bit as well. To some extent, there's an advantage with you all adopting the moratorium and waiting to develop your reasonable time, place, manner restrictions after observing what other cities are doing. Because I don't think that the potential litigation or the issues stop with just the adoption of the moratorium ordinance. I believe that cities are going to try to adopt reasonable time, place, manner restrictions, but even those restrictions will be challenged as perhaps, you know, violating the law. And so my point is, it's not over. Despite whatever happens at the legislature this November, it's not over. I don't think the legislature will trump or prohibit or otherwise deny a city's ability to impose reasonable time, place, manner restrictions, but we have no framework at this point in time that dictates or delineates what is reasonable. And let's just look at free speech. I mean, free speech developed the law as to what cities and states can do to control speech. As you all know, that developed from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, even today, free speech is being challenged at the federal level. I'm not saying that we're going to have a situation like that with marijuana, but I think that years from now, we will still be, at least some of the cities will still be dealing with this very issue. I don't mean to get on my soapbox, but I mean, it's the truth. There is no silver bullet, there is no right answer, and we're all going to have to kind of, you know, roll with the punches, so to speak.
I watched a documentary the other night on what's going on in Colorado.
Right.
And an interesting thing was that within their law, they provided for cities that decided they didn't want to have legalized marijuana,
right,
they got to opt out of the law. Why isn't Oregon affording cities like Lapine and Bend or Redding, you know, right here where we're opposing it adamantly?
They may do that.
You know, why don't we have that thing built into our law is what I'd like to know.
And they may do that, I don't know. I mean, it's all about the lobbyists and the legislator and what they decide is or is not appropriate for all of us in the state of Oregon. You know, I don't know. Greg, they may ultimately include something like that in November.
Yeah, I hope so.
But, Jeremy.
Yes.
Don't we, through the Constitution, have the right to local control through our
state
charter?
The state constitution, coupled with our charter, absolutely.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Some people, some attorneys, will take the position that we don't really care what the state does on this issue. Under the home rule chart authority, we're going to continue to prohibit. My suspicion is that unless a city like a Eugene or a Salem or a larger one adopts something like that, a smaller municipality likely wouldn't be challenged if you were to continue to prohibit. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, obviously, I don't know. But I think that if any challenge arises, whether it's by virtue of the prohibition or a reasonable time, place, manner restrictions, most likely they're going to target a city that's likely to offer or send the most, you know, have the most impact, send a message. In a Lapine or a Madras or some of the smaller cities likely isn't going to have the impact as a Corvallis or a Eugene.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, I think it'll be interesting in the legislature next session, but the problem is that the votes are going to be stacked because you have to realize that Eugene, Portland, Multnomah County, basically over 50% of the legislators are coming from cities and counties that have authorized dispensaries.
That's right.
So for them, they're going to say, why should we have every, you know, it's like they don't have, if you need prescriptions or if you need alcohol, you don't have to drive to Portland to get it. They will probably say, we don't want everyone needing marijuana to have to come to these cities. There's really nothing in legislators trade votes. I mean, there's nothing really in it for them. So you will find there won't be a lot of sympathy from those cities or those legislators. So who knows where this will shake?
There's I was at the COC COCO meeting Monday, and we had Doug Riggs there, and he was he gave us these numbers. There are four doctors in the state of Oregon that are responsible for the majority of the 60,000 medical marijuana cards there are. The profile of the medical marijuana user is a 24-year-old male who has a card for stress disorder.
PTSD.
When you hear those kinds of things about four doctors, it bothers me that the state's not controlling the medical marijuana situation anyway. And then when you look at this, the rules they've got for medical marijuana and the dispensaries and stuff, they really are regulating the dispensaries, the owners. I mean, they're making them jump through lots of hoops. And one of the requirements is that all the marijuana gets tested. And I think you all saw this in a bulletin article, but anyway, it has to be tested. But there is absolutely no mechanism in the state to qualify or anything to make sure that the dispensaries they use aren't a back room with a scale and a microscope and a couple of chemicals. There's no control over that at all. But those are some numbers, and I just think that there's a lot wrong with our medical marijuana system.
Yeah, two brief comments. One is, even if the legislation changes, the overriding issue that I see that really hasn't been dealt with is, from a federal standpoint, marijuana is still listed on the Federal Controlled Substances Act. So that's going to be
class one.
Yes, and that's something that, you know, that's the 500-pound gorilla in the room that no one really talks about that much anymore. Now I know, from a federal standpoint, what I'm reading is that the feds are not pursuing and charging people with you know, unlawful possession of marijuana unless it's huge. We're talking about large amounts. It's not one of their targets, sort of
personal use.
Correct. They're more concerned about mass distribution and things like that. And then one more comment, and I don't know if Rick shared with you the materials that I provided, Rick and the other cities that we represent earlier this week, but of the cities that have adopted the moratorium, I would have assumed that most, if not all, the cities would be located east of the Cascades for obvious reasons. Incidentally, however, ironically, there are quite a few cities in the Willamette Valley that have also adopted the moratorium. And I don't know the number. Do you remember the number of?
It was changes. Well, this week they're all lots of them changing too.
Yeah. So there's quite a few.
Jefferson County, you saw them. They voted against it 2-1.
And I was at the meeting last night in Madras, and we adopted, or the city of Madras adopted it.
People in Jefferson County.
Well, I think there's a quandary there about us and the oath we take, you know, because it's a federally illegal.
I've heard that multiple times.
You know, and it's so where do we get to go?
Don't have an answer for you. It's an issue. I understand and I've heard it.
And what do you do with the other oath that I've taken to relieve pain and suffering? What do you
well,
do
really, this is more, and I think at the end of the day, whether the federal level, all this will get worked out. While there's these legal issues, this is really more of a societal issue. I mean, and it's coming at loggerhead with various laws, and people aren't sure yet what to make of it all.
Sure.
I mean, we already decriminalized it. I mean, remember, you can talk to any cop. If you have the sheriff sitting here, or Captain Utter, he will probably tell you, again, personal use. They're not picking anyone up anyway. They just aren't. That horse has kind of left the barn, and that's where you're going to struggle down the road, because if the cops quit writing tickets for seatbelts, more people are going to not wear seatbelts. So if they're not writing tickets for personal use, and personal use is literally cheaper than an MIP, I believe. You know, I'm not sure I think it's like $100 or something if it's a, because it's a ticket. You can't go to jail for having a joint. It's just like a traffic ticket. So it's already been brought down, and that's been in the books for Oregon for 20 years. I mean, a long time. So, and you got the state north of us that just legalized it. Probably one south of us is going to legalize it for sure. I mean, so.
And I wonder, how do you know the difference between driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs?
Colorado and Washington are going to figure this all out.
I'll conclude with this. I'm going to a conference next week with the municipal attorneys to talk about this. We're spending an entire day talking about the legislation and the reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. And I will look forward to working with all six cities that I represent to develop, or I should say those that have adopted the moratorium, to work with their planning commissions and their city councils to develop.
Your city's not adopted.
Pardon me?
Didn't your city's not adopted?
To my knowledge, the city of Burns is the only city that I represent that has not adopted it. Yeah. But I will work with all of you to develop something that works.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Any further discussion, Council? Okay, so now.
So next week we'll be at our budget meeting on Tuesday. 29th. And, right?
29th and 30th. Tuesday, right.
So you'll be here for two nights in a row, so make sure you're all rested. And I'm going to try to have the budget ready for you by Friday, but that's what I'm sitting here working on.
It's six.
I think it's six. They'll have to tell me.
Six.
I'll be here all day, so it won't matter. I think it is six.
Okay. Motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thank you all for coming.
Yep. Thanks.
No, one of the problems.